Here, and he's heading toward a cross here soon that we're going to see in the stories of the chapters of the book of Luke. And Luke chapter number 13 this morning. Luke 13 is where we left off. I think it's back in the month of November. So we'll start picking up on Sunday mornings doing the book of Luke now for a little while. I enjoy going through the Bible chapter by chapter and verse by verse. It teaches us to not skip over things, and sometimes there'll be a verse or two we'll skip over, but it teaches us the whole counsel of God and gives a whole picture of what's going on. Luke teaches us about that Jesus came, and he came to be Lord, and as he came to be Lord, he also came to die on the cross. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and here we know, as the first 12 chapters taught us, that he had much opposition. Anytime someone's trying to do something good or trying to win someone to the Lord or see people saved, you're going to have much opposition. And it's no different today in today's story. This is not one of those familiar miracles, but I think it is a powerful miracle. Luke chapter number 13, we're going to start in verse number 10. It's the story of a woman who was healed, and her disease was that she was bent over, which means that she was bent at her, she lived her life all the way bent over. And that sounds pretty painful. Also, can you imagine trying to exist like that? That all the time you're there and you're walking around. Well, this woman comes to the temple. Jesus is there, and it's actually not the temple. Let's look here in Luke chapter number 13. It says, verse number 10, it is the synagogue. And it says, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. So we have the setting. Jesus, many times at this point in his ministry, before they were looking to kill him all the time, he would go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. And many times the ruler of the synagogue would offer certain people to pray and offer certain people to come up and teach. Still at this point in time, even though the religious leaders and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all the religious people today, they hated Jesus. They wanted to see him dead, but he had a mass following that they always still allowed him to teach up to this point. This is the last time in the book of Luke that's recorded. He's teaching at a synagogue, and while he's there, he sees this woman, the Bible says. Oftentimes when we think about people who came and got healed, what happened? They would come approach Jesus. They would come looking for Jesus. This is a little different. You see this woman who is bound by this disease or this problem of being always bent over is something that Jesus sees her and Jesus calls her. Jesus touches her. And it's an amazing story. And I think there's some really great things in here today. But let's look at this. And the title of this morning's message is Jesus Heals on the Sabbath. We live in a world of hurting people. People are in pain for many different reasons, but there is one solution, I believe, to everyone's problem, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you say, well, that doesn't always alleviate the pain. No, but that does give us grace to be able to handle the pain and see through and keep our eyes focused on him and look to eternity instead of what's going on in this world. And this story of the morning, you're going to see a woman who is in need of help, a person who was hurting, and how Jesus Christ helps, but not everyone is happy. I want you to see today that even though there is a world around us today that is hurting and that is in great need, just as this woman is, Jesus Christ can help. But there is many people who kind of get in the way. And that's what we're going to see here in Luke chapter number 13. Let's go ahead and read verses 10 through 17. Luke chapter 13, verse number 10, the word of God says, and he, referring to Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. We do not know which synagogue it was, but we know that there was multiple synagogues. There's one in each location or each town or each city, at least within walking distance. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Now, the spirit of infirmity means that she's afflicted by something. And we're seeing in a little while what that is. Now, look at the length of this. This is not just having a bad back for a day. It is 18 years that this woman has been dealing with it. And was bowed together. And I went and looked up those words. It means that she was bowed together. She was always stooped over, always bent out at the waist. That's how she walked. That's how she sat. How did all that? I don't know how all that happened, but I can imagine that would have been painful, but also it would have been something that would have been hard to deal with. But where is she at on the Sabbath? She's in the synagogue. What is she doing? She's worshiping the Lord. Oh, no, she just came to find you. No. She's there. She's a godly lady. She's not letting things stop her from getting to where she's supposed to be. And that's a testimony there. Let's keep on going. It says, and was bound together and could in no wise lift up herself. She could not lift herself up. The Bible says in verse number 12, and when Jesus saw her, and I love that part, I see this, and you see that many times people came seeking after Jesus, but Jesus knows, Jesus sees everything we're going through, and you should be encouraged today that if you're a child of God, God loves you, He knows exactly what, He sees what's happening in your life, and He knows all about it. And Jesus saw her, and He called her to Him. He tells this woman who many times probably was ridiculed, this woman who probably was forced to sit in the back, if even let into the temple during the yearly ritual, but during the synagogue, the ladies would sit in a certain section. She's probably sitting all the way in the back, and He calls, and He tells her to come. And it said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorify God. I like that. I mean, sometimes we think of Jesus and we think of these miracles and we think, oh, ho, hum, there's another miracle that Jesus did. But can you imagine this woman for 18 years couldn't stand up straight, and Jesus, He called her and He touched her and He healed her and she stood up straight. And what does she do next? It says she glorified God. And something we need to remember is that God is good to us and we should always give Him glory and always lift Him up for what He is doing in our lives. Verse 14, we're introduced to someone who's not happy, someone who's upset about the healing. How could someone be upset about a woman getting healed after 18 years of an infirmity? It says verse 14, and the ruler of the synagogue, now the ruler of the synagogue is supposed to be a religious leader in that area, in that time. He kind of would set up the way the service was going. Brother Jim mentioned that we're changing, I'm changing the order of service a little bit on Sunday mornings, trying out a couple things. And that's what the religious leader would be, the synagogue ruler. He would sit up in a spot and he would say, well, this person can speak and this person can pray. He was kind of in control of how the service was going. And Jesus kind of interrupts the service. He is teaching. He sees that woman and He tells that woman to come here, and He goes ahead and heals this woman, and the religious leader gets upset. He says, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. He was mad because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. So now we see what he's upset about. He believes that the Sabbath day that would be unlawful for that person to heal. And this is a religious leader, and said unto the people. So he's speaking to the people. He doesn't speak to Jesus. He speaks to the people. There are 6 days in which men ought. You kind of take that word ought and remember that word, because Jesus responds back to this man using the same word. Ought means that they should to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. This man is upset. He's angry because things didn't go the way he had planned. It didn't go he expected. And they're angry because Jesus did something good on the Sabbath day. Now, back in those times, what many times the religious leaders of the day is they would add to the law. They would make stipulation after stipulation after stipulation after stipulation to the point that they could not even observe the Sabbath. The Sabbath was intended for a day of rest. And then the book of the law, which before Jesus died, the Jewish people were trying to follow all those laws and all those guidelines. And they kept on putting stipulation upon stipulation. That's what he's saying. It is wrong for you to heal on the Sabbath. But he doesn't correct Jesus. He's telling him it's wrong for that woman to come to get healed. But that woman didn't even come to get looking to get healed. You know, Jesus is the one that called her. Let's keep on going. And it says, not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite. He says, you're playing a game here. Hypocrite is like someone who is an actor, someone who's pretending to, like this man, pretending to be religious, pretending to care about people, pretending to care about the things of God. But you see where his heart really truly is. Jesus trying to draw a conclusion and says, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? He says, on the Sabbath day that you say is so holy and that no one should be working, even though this guy's getting mad and angry on the Sabbath, that doesn't matter. He says, even on the Sabbath day, you will go and take your animals and allow them to have water, which is more work than what it took for Jesus to heal this woman. He says, and you care more about your animals than you care about people. Let's keep on going. It says in verse number 16, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, so we know this woman is a Jew, and obviously she's in the synagogue in this Jewish area. Now look at this next phrase, whom Satan hath bound. He calls it an infirmity earlier, but we see that it is Satan who has put this infirmity on this woman. You said Satan's able to do that. Well, we know from the book of Job, we see that story that Satan, if God allows, Satan is able to touch and able to harm people. And it says here that have bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. And what he's saying here is, come on, consider this. He says, you're willing to take care of your animals on the Sabbath day, but this woman who is also Jewish, a brother or sister of you, who has this 18 years of infirmity, has been bound by the devil, and you can't even get off of your rules and your regulations so much that you've added to the word of God that you can't rejoice in the fact that this person was healed. Let's keep on going, see what it says. And it says in verse 16, be loosed on this bond on the Sabbath day. Verse 17 says, and when he had said these things, notice what it says, all his adversaries. There wasn't just one there. When someone stands up and starts saying, oh, something's wrong, usually there's going to be a bunch of people. There's usually a lot of people unsatisfied with the things of God and the work of God. The devil doesn't just speak to the ruler of synagogues here. He speaks to other people, and he tries to cause torments, and he tries to cause issues and problems inside the house of God. He tries to rile things up. And it says here in verse 17, and when he had said these things, when Jesus had brought to example the fact that they cared more about animals than this, than their sister, a Jewish lady, what happens? It says, and when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. Now, with this word ashamed, there's two different ways of being ashamed. One can be shameful in the fact that you have nothing else to say and you still think you're right and you just walk away and leave angry. Another person could be humbled to the spot where they realize that they've done wrong and they confess that they've done wrong. But we don't know exactly what happens, but many times these religious leaders' hearts are so hard that they just refuse to get it right. They're ashamed that they have been called on the carpet and the carpet pulled out from under them, and truth is said, and not only truth said to them, but they're said amongst all the people at the synagogue. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I love that phrase at the end. It says, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things. It's great. They're excited. They were rejoicing in a day that a woman who had been bound for 18 years, for 18 years she had been stuck like this, and Jesus helped. Don't you think people rejoice? Don't you think people get excited? Don't you think people would be praising the Lord and thinking the things of God and things that God is doing is something we should praise and rejoice about? And the problem is that doesn't always happen in churches. Sometimes there is the hypocrites that are more concerned about fleshly things than what God is trying to do. So what is the point of this passage today? There's a couple of things I like to bring out. First of all, there's people that are in need. There's people that are hurting in the world. Second thing I want you to think about is that Jesus is the answer there. He, a relationship with Jesus Christ, no, it's not a prosperity gospel that once you get saved, everybody's going to be rich, everybody's going to be driving brand new cars. There are people who preach and teach that, but they're preaching and teaching a false gospel. But it is something that we have someone to depend on. We have someone who has promised to never leave us and to never forsake us. A person who has gives us the grace to handle every situation that we're in. He gives us the power and the ability to overcome sin and live a victorious Christian life. Jesus Christ is the answer to the problems in the world today. And the third thing I want you to see is there are some people who are stopping or slowing down what Jesus wants to do in this world. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask and look at the message, Jesus Heals on the Sabbath. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I know that in this message, in this passage of scripture, I see a woman who is hurting and who is bound by the problems of this world. And Lord, it even says specifically that the devil has had bound her up for these 18 years. And Lord, that the only person that could save and help this woman was Jesus. And Lord, the sad thing we see in this story is the hearts of men, the hearts of people who are being hypocritical, and the idea that they care more about rules and regulations and the things of this world than they do what Jesus is trying to do. Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts today that they would want to help those that are struggling, want to help those that are hurting, want to introduce Christ to those that are in need of him. Also, I pray that we take a deep, long look at our hearts and see where we're at spiritually, whether we be one of those religious rulers or be like one of those that are following the religious rulers and more interested in the legality of the law than the hearts of men and women. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want to remind you of, we mentioned earlier, is the point number one, is the condition of the woman. The condition of the woman. Just try, picture with me for a second what it would be like to have to walk around like that all the time. I thought about that a little bit today, this morning, and thought about what it would be like for that week, what it would be like to make dinner, or what it would be like to even take care of themselves, what it'd be like to dress themselves, maybe even to clean themselves. And I thought about all the problems and all the heartaches and all the issues that would come with being bent over like that. And I think about all the hurting and all the struggles that this woman would have. And then it reminds me of the world that we live in today, that many times people carry such a heavy load that they get stooped over, and there's so much that's laid upon their back, and there's so many things that this world tries to break us with, and how many times people walk over, maybe not physically, but spiritually, holding and carrying such a heavy load. And I thought about the problems of this woman, and it reminded me of the problems of the world that we live in today. We live in a messed up society. We live in a very sinful society. We live in a day where man calls wrong right and calls right wrong. We live in a day where we need the help of Jesus Christ, and many times we are missing the boat on what we should be doing. We see the condition of the woman. We see her problem. We imagine what the problem would have been like physically, but also think about it spiritually. Remember back in this culture, when someone was facing a disease or a hardship, they would look at that person, they would think that person was a sinner. They would look at that person and say, you know what, because of their sin, that person is struggling physically. And at certain times, because of our sin, we do have consequences of our sin. And certain times, those consequences mean that we are struggling physically. But that's not always the case. That's not the case with this woman. This woman, I think, is a godly lady. This woman is at the synagogue when she is hurting and when she is struggling. She's not making an excuse. She's not saying, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to feel sorry for myself. No, she gets up and she goes where she's supposed to be. To me, that speaks volumes, because of the fact that sometimes we stay home because of a headache. Sometimes we stay home from church or service because of some rain. Sometimes, and I know sometimes people can't get out. I know this past Wednesday night we had snow, and we had snow on the roads, and we had church for whoever could make it. When we have that type of church service, if you feel uncomfortable coming out in the snow, don't come. You know, stay home. You can listen to the sermon online later if you want. I live behind the church, so for the most part, we can have church. We're going to have church open, and we're going to try to do it in a safe manner. But if you don't feel comfortable, then that's okay. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who make up excuses and find reasons why they should not come to church, why they should not be a part of the services of God and in the service of working for the Lord. And I want you to understand something here. This woman, the condition she had was physically hurting, but spiritually she was probably looked down upon. She was probably someone that children would make fun of. She was someone who wasn't even be allowed to enter into the temple and probably had to sit in the back. But her problem is also made known about her presence, how she was faithful and she was devoted. The condition of this woman. The second thing I want you to see is the compassion of the Savior. Look what it says, that when Jesus saw her, it says in verse number 12, when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And compassion means to feel someone else's pain, to feel someone else's hurt. And for 18 years, this woman, not because of something she had done, but because the devil laid something on her that made her bound, that made her deal with this sickness and deal with this illness, Jesus sees her. He looks at her. And he sees her, and maybe she's in the back of her crowd, and he calls to her. He stops his teaching, and he calls to her. He tells her to come to him. And I want you to understand, Jesus sees what you're going through. I hear some of your stories. I even know some of my own stories. And I wonder what we're going through and what we're experiencing seems like it's overwhelming. It seems like we don't know how to handle it. It seems like we come to a spot where we just are overwhelmed with what this world is hitting us with, or what the devil is hitting us with. And then we turn around, we forget that Jesus is looking, that Jesus is watching. He's the one that tells us to come unto him. He tells us, even if we're heavy laden, even if we're burdened down, he tells us to come unto him. He says, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. What does he say? I will give you rest. I want to encourage you today in the Word of God that Jesus sees this woman who probably did not have good rest for those 18 years. He sees this woman, he sees exactly what she's going through, and he says, come unto me, and he sees her, he has compassion for her. It says he touched her. Now, Jesus did not need to touch her. There's many times when Jesus did not touch the person who had healed, he healed. Sometimes he had just spoke the word and the person was healed. But it says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmities, and laid his hands on her. I want you to see that he cares. Are you living in a day and time right now where you don't think Jesus cares? Are you going through something and experiencing something, and you might not say it with your mouth that Jesus doesn't care, but you sure feel like he doesn't? This reminds us that this woman had done nothing wrong, and she lived through this for 18 years. And even though our circumstances might even be worse than this woman, which I doubt they are, they might even be worse than what this woman's circumstances is. Remember that Jesus still saw this woman, and Jesus still was able to help this woman. And Jesus gives this invitation, come unto me. I want you to understand today that Jesus Christ loves you and that he is here to help you with whatever problem or issue that you may have. The third thing I want you to see is not only the condition of the woman, the compassion of the Savior, the criticism of the ruler. Look at the source of the criticism. It's the ruler of the synagogue. The person who should know. The person who should care. You think about it. If he's been the ruler of synagogue, and many times these positions are positions that have been handed down from their fathers. And many times these positions are people who have been there for a long time. So if this woman is as faithful as the scriptures portray her to be, this man has seen this woman come to the synagogue probably every single Sabbath day for 18 years struggling this way. He's watched this woman turn around and struggle probably to get in, and she probably has to be careful in the way that she doesn't bump into people, or she has to be careful. He's probably seen people ridicule him. He's probably even thought in his own heart and in his own mind, I wonder what that woman did for that to happen. You see, he doesn't have any compassion at all. My concern today is that many times Christians that live in the day and time that we live in, especially that goes to an independent fundamental Baptist church, a conservative church, and we've gotten so used to the things that God does that we don't glory in them anymore like the woman glories. We don't rejoice that much anymore, is because we come to the spot where we can look at someone and it not even affect us. We have no compassion. Instead, we're so worried about what we do and how we act, and how things are going to react to us, and how it might mess up our own little world, that we never reach out. And that this man, this criticism of the ruler, the source of the criticism, it came from the ruler of synagogue, who should have been a spiritually minded person, who should have been rejoicing the fact that Jesus, he should have known when he saw Jesus, he should have went to Jesus and said, hey Jesus, we had this woman for 18 years, they've been faithful over and over and over, coming to the Sabbath, coming to the synagogue. Can you go help this one? That's not what he thinks at all. He's more worried about his own little rules and his own little system that he becomes angry. It says he is filled with indignation. He's so worried and upset that things aren't done the exact way that he thinks they should. He's the one in charge of the order of service. If something came out of line, he becomes angry. He becomes upset. This wasn't when she was supposed to be healed. This wasn't on the schedule. This wasn't the way it was supposed to happen. Instead of rejoicing that God healed a woman, instead of rejoicing that God is working in a woman's life, he says, it's not the way I wanted it done. Christian, we need to be careful that we don't lose compassion for other people, and not just the compassion that we think they should have. Of course, there's a group of people, our children, our grandchildren, our extended family, our friends. We want God to help them, but how come we close our eyes sometimes and care more about the things of this world? Like Jesus said, you care more about your animals. There's regulations, there are stipulations in the law that you can take your animal out and they can get a drink of water so they don't die and so they don't suffer. And you care more about taking care of that stipulation than you do care about this woman who's been hurting for 18 years. How can you care more about your own little world than there's people with problems over here that need God's help and you have God to offer to them? I also see here that at the end, and it says the people rejoiced. If you look at verse number 17, it says, and when he had done these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And why were they ashamed? Because sinners will get shame brought to them. And Jesus here, he calls them on that. I'm not saying it's our job to bring shame to other people, but sin does bring shame. And I want you to see that little phrase there, all his adversaries. I know I mentioned it earlier, but I've been around church for a little while where I see that when one person starts complaining and one person starts making accusations, you know what? It's kind of easy to get little followers, and they start, all the adversaries together, all start complaining. They're not caring about the things of God. They're not caring about the people of God. They're not caring about a lost and dying world, but they care about it being done their way. Be very careful. Jesus calls this man a hypocrite. He says, you sit up on your high seat and you act like you care about the people. You act like you care about God's people and the things of God. But you will judge someone getting help. But you'll go treat an animal better. And it says here in verse 17, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. They rejoiced. When's the last time we rejoiced on something that God's done for us? It says up there, when Jesus healed the woman, at the end of verse number 13, she glorified God. Verse number 17, when they saw all the things, the people were excited. You can imagine the synagogue, they've been dealing with the synagogue ruler for a little while, and obviously he's not spiritually minded. It was probably a bunch of religious rituals, and it was probably just going through, and he probably picked his favorite people to speak. He probably picked his favorite people to read the verses and to pray and do all these things, and it comes to it when someone with some fresh Jesus comes, and he does some fresh teaching, and he reaches out to people, and he wants to help people, and he wants to make a difference in his life. And it's not about rituals, it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. And that when they see that and when they hear that, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like, wow, that person cares about me, that person loves me, that person wants to help me. So often I see in sometimes churches like ours, people who don't care. Unless it works within their system. People who will walk past the person in need instead of being willing to pray with them. People who are lost and dying and going to hell. Jesus is the answer to that. But we walk right past them and we say, it doesn't fit in my schedule today. Now, I'm not saying everyone is like this religious hypocrite. I'm not. I think we have a church full of wonderful people. But while I was reading this passage of scripture, I saw this woman who hurts, and I see a world that's around us that is hurting. You see people out there who are in heinous sin that is crying out for trying to find what the meaning of life is and trying to find, and no, not everyone is going to listen, but it's not our job to make everyone listen. It's our job to give out the gospel. It's our job to introduce people to Christ. It's their job whether they want to accept or reject. And we see that there's the world out there that is crying, and they need something. And what they need is Jesus Christ. And the problem isn't the fact that the world has a problem. The problem isn't that Jesus Christ is not able to help them. It becomes to the spot, what are we doing? Are we being critical like this ruler? Are we being hypocritical like this ruler? Today, are we rejoicing the things that God has done for us? It says, all the adversaries were ashamed. And I can imagine those adversaries were probably the ones who ran the synagogue. People who ran the church. You know, they got used to it. You know, I know sometimes, I don't think our church is like this, but sometimes there's a small group who think that they own the church and they run the church, and things got to be done my way or there's going to be a penalty you pay. You ever been to a place like that? I know there's places like that. I've been to places like that. I don't think our church is like that. But that's what this religious leader and his adversaries were all there. They were against Jesus. So it's going to be my way or there's going to be problems. But then you hear and you see, and I love this. It says, all the people rejoice for all the glorious things. It was a breath of fresh air to have someone say, there's someone who loves me. There's someone who cares about me. Is that the way we treat people? Is that the way? Because I see the problem, I see the need, I see the burden, and I see the hurting people. I see a Jesus that is able to help and provide the answer. He's able to heal. He has compassion. He sees what people's going through. But then I see the religious hypocrites of the day that are sitting there and would rather that woman stayed hurting than to give Jesus any type of credit. They wouldn't dare say anything to Jesus. He goes out and he talks to his crowd and he responds to his crowd. You know, there are 6 days you should do this, not on the Sabbath. He's correcting Jesus, but he's too scared to talk to him. He's speaking to his people. This guy's going to be gone long. You listen to me. 6 days. You need to follow this rule. You need to follow this guy. Jesus says, you're a hypocrite. You don't care about individuals. You care more about your rules and your regulations than you do about people. And let me also specify, you know me, I think the Bible asks for holy living. The Bible commands holy living. I think we should live a holy life because he is holy. It speaks of guidelines of how it's going to help our lives and how things are going to encourages us to live a certain way and to act a certain way and to be like Christ in many areas. So I think standards are good. I think these are positive things and these are strong things. But many times, you know what? People are trusting in their standards instead of trusting in the Lord. Tonight we're going to be preaching a message called about misplaced faithfulness. And there are people who have faith, and they have faith in the wrong things. They have faith in wrong religions. They have faith in works. But sometimes I think that people, even sometimes saved people, will have a misplaced faith, and that this religious leader, who I don't think was saved, but this religious leader, his faith was following the law. He was following the wrong thing. And Christian, I want you to get this. It's not about your standards. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you care more about how someone looks than whether or not they are saved, then there's a problem. It's something we must understand, that we should live a holy life and we should reach out to others. But do not be a hypocrite about it. Because we live a holy life is one thing, does not mean that we should not also have compassion. Because Christ saved us for a purpose. Christ saved us for a reason. And we should try to reach those that are lost. This morning, if you're here without Jesus Christ, picture the problems that this woman had. She was hurting and she struggled for 18 years. Jesus Christ helped her, just as Jesus Christ can help you today. The Bible says that maybe not all of us have an 18-year infirmity where we're bent over, but all of us have a sin problem. And that sin problem carries with it a huge penalty, a huge wage. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That death means eternal separation from God and a horrible place called hell. But just as Jesus was able to help this woman, Jesus, the Bible says, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came to help us too. He died on the cross and he paid our sin debt for us. And the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. If you believe that he died and he was buried and he rose again, you can know him today as your personal savior and on your way to heaven. That's something that you can do here. He is here to help you. Jesus is just a prayer away from making a difference in your life. So what are you carrying today? Sometimes people carry such heavy burdens. Christians, you don't have to carry that burden. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. He says, I can give you rest. He can help you today, but you have to come to him. He's even as Jesus is calling that woman, and Jesus is saying to that woman, hey, I see you. You come here. He is the Holy Spirit of God, can speak to your heart. He says, hey, you know you have a problem. You know you have issues. That's Jesus saying, hey, I want to help you. You come here. I can help relieve you from that burden, especially for the individual that's closest to hell to this morning. Never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus can take that away from you, that shame and that burden of the sin. This morning, do you know him? Have you ever personally asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior? Have you ever saw yourself as a sinner and in need of a Savior? Maybe Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now and saying, hey, you need to be saved. There are a lot of people who carry around burdens they do not need to carry. We can leave them at the foot of the cross. We can leave them at Jesus' feet. All we have to do is say, I know I have a problem. Jesus, you've promised that you can help me. You can give me grace to handle this. I'm giving this over to you. Don't be like that religious leader. Don't be like that individual who turns around and says, it's not the way I wanted it done. Instead, let God work and move in your life. Let God use you to be a light to this lost and dying world. There is a world full of problems. There is a condition of this world that needs Christ, but we have a compassionate Christ, thankfully. Don't be a critical hypocrite. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.